Good morning. I'm Pastor Gillespie from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, Sherman Center, Random Lake, Wisconsin. Good to have you with us here today for our Congregation at Prayer, a guide for daily meditation and prayer around God's Word. We continue our catechesis today in Acts chapter 18. All right, so we were at the Areopagus in Athens yesterday, and now we move on to Corinth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Say our memory verse together. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. Our psalm this week is Psalm 119, now the sections Kaf and Lamed. If you don't recall, there's the psalm is broken up into the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, all right? So Aleph, Beit, etc., etc., and now we're on Kaf and Lamed, which is, there's not an equivalent to English characters, they're Hebrew characters, so. All right, good. Say it with me. My soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word. My eyes long for your promise. I ask, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, yet I have not forgotten your statutes. How long must your servant endure? When will you judge those who persecute me? The insolent have dug pitfalls for me. They do not live according to your law. All your commandments are sure. They persecute me with falsehood. Help me. They have almost made an end of me on earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. In your steadfast love, give me life, that I may keep the testimonies of your mouth. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth, and it stands fast. By your appointment, they stand this day, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked lie in wait to destroy me, but I consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The first reading today is a continuation from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, chapter 8, today beginning in verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. All right. And now our reading for catechesis is from Acts chapter 18. After these things, namely the things at the Areopagus in Athens, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. And he came to them. So, because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." And he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshipped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Now, the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision, "Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you. And no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city." And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. When Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, "This fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law." And when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrongdoing or wicked crimes, O Jews, there would be reason why I should bear with you. But it is, or if it is a question of words and names and your own law, look to it yourselves, for I do not want to be a judge of such matters." And he drove them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. But Gallio took no notice of these things. So, hold on a second. Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria. And Priscilla and Aquila were with him. He had his hair cut off at Cenchrea, for he had taken a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there. But he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay a longer time with them, he did not consent, but took leave of them, saying, "I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you, God willing." And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and greeted the church, he went down to Antioch. All right. So, some catechesis on this text. Where did Paul go after he left Athens? Of course, Corinth, right? Which we saw there in verse 1. Whom did he meet in Corinth? Two characters, right? Certain Jews. We have them there in verse 2, Aquila and Priscilla, or Priscilla and Aquila. Why had these Jews left Rome? All right, so we have a historic note here, which lends to its authenticity, of course. We know this is a historic account, but it's helpful to have some of these indications, right, that we can correspond to Roman history. Yeah, Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome. Why did Paul stay with Aquila and Priscilla in particular? Verse 3, right? They were of the same trade, right? So Paul could work with them while he served the church. What happened after the arrival of Silas and Timothy? We have Paul being compelled by the Spirit to testify to the Jews, that would be in the synagogue, that Jesus is the Christ, right? So more than just reasoning with them from the scriptures to make testimony here. And it doesn't go well, does it? No. Verse 6, right? They opposed him and blasphemed. He gives them a sign. What's the sign that does he give them? Yeah, he shakes his garments. Of course, these garments. Anytime we see garments in the book of Acts, we should probably go back and think about how they are testified to in Luke volume 1. That's the gospel according to St. Luke. Maybe that would be Luke 23. We have some garments there. That's the crucifixion, of course. Here's what Luke records there. There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots. Anything more on that? Yeah, so his divided garments are divided actually for the nations to cover them with, ultimately, with the baptismal garments of forgiveness, right? Purchased and won at the cross. Here, what does Paul tell them? "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean." That should sound familiar to us. Again, the crucifixion, going back there. So we have the garments and now also those words, right? The Jews took or accepted responsibility for what they were doing. This is in Matthew 27, right? "His blood be on us and on our children." But then if you remember earlier in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 5, they're concerned actually about blood. Here's what Luke records there. "Then the captain went," this is the apostles on trial, "the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, 'Did we not strictly command you not to teach in his name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us.'" All right, so just what they asked for, that's what the disciples are doing, the apostles are doing. In verse 6, there's a important pronoun here. It's your blood be upon your own heads. Why do you think that's important that he uses the pronoun, the second person plural, your or you? All right. Look at what he says first. "I am clean." How is he clean? By the blood of Christ, right? Which cleanses him. But they reject Jesus. And so what's the problem? They cannot make absolution, atone for their own sins, the guilt of their own blood, right? And atone for it themselves. Well, so this is always the problem with sin, right? If it is held and not confessed, right? It goes upon you, right? It continues to desecrate you, to make you unholy. Right? This is why we don't hold on to sins. We confess them before God and before the pastor. Those that we know and feel in our hearts. Where did Paul go next when he left the synagogue? Didn't go well, but at the synagogue, right? He goes to the next door. And who lives next door? Yeah, a man named Justus, right? One who worshiped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. And Crispus, turns out, believes, and look, lives next door. He's also the ruler of the synagogue and all his household, right? He's the rabbi. So he believes, even though the people in the synagogue do not. How's that? And of course, the result is that many in Corinth, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized. Well, rather than stick around, Paul is directed in a vision to do what? Yeah, continue speaking. He should not fear to continue to speak. No one will hurt him, right? Because I have many people in the city. That sounds familiar. This is much like what we heard in our Old Testament lesson last week, right? Where the Lord reminds Elijah that there are 7,000 yet in Israel who have not bent the knee to the idols, to the Baals and the Ashtaroths. Okay. How long did Paul preach then in Corinth in total? Verse 11. A year and 6 months. Year and a half. But when did the Jews rise up against Paul? Yeah, when Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, they brought Paul to the judgment seat, right? So they got a sympathetic proconsul, the Jews did, and now they're going to bring accusation against Paul. What's the accusation? It's right here in verse 13. This fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law. What's important? What do you think the importance of the this term for worship is in their false accusation? Yeah, I'm going to give you some examples of this. One from Jesus. So he uses the same term. There's multiple terms for worship, by the way. Here in Matthew 15, verse 9, the word for worship there is, and the word that's used elsewhere is, how do you pronounce that in Greek? It's sebo is the stem, and it's symbontai, right? So this is kind of an old form to worship or to honor, right? Jesus uses it here. He's quoting from Isaiah, right? Isaiah 29. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they, there's the word sabanta, they worship me, sabantai, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. All right. So he called, that's when he's calling the Pharisees and scribes hypocrites. Well, one of the times, because of how they forsake God's word in favor of their tradition, right? So it's used the same way here. This fellow persuades men to sabantai guy contrary to the law, to honor him. So Jesus used in terms of unbelief of the Jews trusting in the commandments of men. Here, Luke uses it again, maybe to draw your attention back to that saying from Jesus. Of course, this accusation sounds familiar, as we saw in Corinth before. Now we hear it again here when he's before the proconsul. This sounds like the Jews accusing Jesus before Pontius Pilate, right? And then, of course, the response, it is, if it were a matter of wrongdoing or wicked crimes of Jews, there would be a reason why I should bear with you. But if it's a question of the words and name your own law, look to it yourselves, and I do not want to be a judge of such matters. That also should sound like, yeah, that sounds like Pontius Pilate as well. Okay, how did the Jews react? Verse 17. How the Greeks react, right? Yeah, it's the Greeks. They took Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, beat him before the judgment seat. Remember, now word's gotten around, Paul's a Roman citizen, right? Were these Greeks Christians? No. Yeah. Now, there is often hostility between the Jews and the Gentiles. And in the church, particular Jews and Gentiles, though, are to be reconciled and become one through the gospel. These, then, are unbelieving Greeks. Used Gallio's rebuke of the Jews as an excuse to move against the ruler of the synagogue. So we're seeing, like we saw recorded earlier, what was his name? Claudius made the Jews depart from Rome. There's that anti-Semitism happening, and here it is again from some Greeks. All right. How did Gallio respond to the Greeks' beating of the ruler of the synagogue? Yeah. He took no notice of these things. In other words, he looked the other way, right? The Jews are often a thorn in his side, so he just ignored them. Who went with Paul when he finally then sailed for Syria? See them recorded here in verse 18. Priscilla and Aquila. And what did he do at Cenchrea? He had his hair cut off. He had taken some kind of vow, it says here. I don't know more about that. All right, what does he do in Ephesus? Yeah, again, enters the synagogue and reasons with the Jews. Sound familiar? But he doesn't stay in Ephesus, right? Why not? Yeah, he says right here in verse 21, he wants to go to the coming feast in Jerusalem. But he does promise to the church in Ephesus he'll return again. Right, we hear that. A promise made also in his epistle, I believe. Ephesians, right? Okay. Some catechesis on this text, or some more, a meditation. Paul shakes his garments as a mark that the Jews do not desire the garments of the righteousness of Christ. They desire to wash their garments in their own blood, which cannot cleanse, for only the blood of the Lamb cleanses. Paul was told not to fear, for the Lord had many people that he would call in Corinth. While the Jews tried to accuse him as they did Christ, Gallio would not listen, for he is subject to the will of God, that Paul be free to preach the gospel in Corinth. Remember, God had promised that. So Gallio keeps that. There are still those in the world and even in the church who desire to subject us to the commandments of men, but their accusations against us cannot taint the garments of the righteousness of Christ that are put on the baptized. Okay. Let's confess together the seventh petition of the Lord's Prayer. But deliver us from evil. What does this mean? We pray in this petition in summary that our Father in heaven would rescue us from every evil of body and soul, possessions and reputation. And finally, when our last hour comes, give us a blessed end and graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to himself in heaven. Let's pray. Father in heaven, rescue us from every evil of body and soul, possessions and reputation. And finally, when our last hour comes, give us a blessed end and graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to yourself in heaven. Amen. All right, so there's a question in the chat about how far apart these places are. The distance from Ephesus to Corinth is about 3,800 kilometers. Take about 37 hours. Is that right? Driving distance, 3,800 kilometers. How about in miles? 1,700 miles apart. Wow. Wonder if it's the same Ephesus. That might be different. Here's a Bible chart. Okay, so approximate miles from Athens to Corinth is 50 miles. Corinth to Cenchrea was 8 miles. Cenchrea to Ephesus, this Ephesus, was 250 miles. And then Ephesus to Caesarea is 650 miles. So this second missionary journey, which started in Antioch and ends in Antioch in Syria after he goes to Jerusalem again, is about a total of 2,700 miles that he does here over a span of 4 years. So just to give you an idea how big those distances are. Okay. Themes for prayer. Let's pray on this Friday for the preaching of the Holy Cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, for its spread throughout the whole world, for the persecuted and for the sick and dying. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. In particular, I got informed this morning that Janice Lippert has gone into hospice care. So in particular, I want to remember her in our prayers today. On this July 9th, we pray in Thanksgiving with Gavin, who celebrates his birthday, with Lisa and Eugene, who celebrate their baptism. We continue to give thanks for the gift of our nation. We ask for those that the Lord be with those who are ill, receiving treatment, or in recovery, or in hospice care. Tristan, Marcella, Jeremy, Kelsey, David, Amanda, John, and Timothy. Janice, and also the other Janice, Sandy, Ken, and Kaylee. Our homebound, Bev, David, Roy, Willis, and Janice, and Mickey. As well as the mission of the month for our congregation, Compassion International, and for those grieving, Jim, at the death of his brother Roy. For all this, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Prayer Collect for this week. O God, you have prepared for those who love you good things that surpass all understanding. Pour into our hearts such love toward you that we, loving you above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. All right, we sing our hymn for this week, Sing My Tongue the Glorious Battle. That concludes our congregation of prayer for today, July 9th, 2021. It's good to have you all with us here today. You can join us again tomorrow at 9 a.m. Live streaming on Facebook and YouTube and Twitch, wherever is convenient for you. And again, if this is a benefit to you, I haven't asked in a while, do use one of the links below to support us. I appreciate a regular gift if you listen to us regularly. Otherwise, a one-time gift is great. And that's a way we can keep doing this. All right. So Lord be with you all, keep you safe, and we'll see you again tomorrow.